Welcome to Seeking Alpha's Wall Street Breakfast, your daily source of market news and analysis. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher.
Welcome to Alpha Talk's Editor's Roundtable. What moved the markets this week for the week ending Friday, November 13th, 2020? I am joined by my panel of Seeking Alpha editors, starting with Bradley Olison, VP of News, Kim Kahn, Senior News Editor, Stephen Alfer, Managing Editor of Breaking News, and me, your host and moderator, Nathaniel Baker, a contributing editor here at Seeking Alpha. All right, it was a very interesting week, an eventful week, starting on Monday, of course, with the news from Pfizer that they had a coronavirus vaccine, which briefly caused a rotation, or what was referred to as a rotation, in stocks, with the big caps and some of these old value stocks gaining, and some of the tech names that have benefited during the COVID crisis selling off. That lasted a couple of days. Then on Thursday, we had a broader sell-off due to, wait for it, rising coronavirus cases across the US. Stop me if you've heard that before. And finally, today, everything seems to have rebounded. The coronavirus concerns appear to have drifted into the background once again. And we are once again on our happy way where investors are buying stocks and bidding up prices. So there is nevertheless a lot for us to unpack here. And I am very curious to see what my colleagues have to say about the events of the week. Starting with Kim Kahn, over to you. What was your take on the week's events?
Well, it was very interesting that you saw so much activity. And then, but if you looked at the today and kind of the end of the week, S&P's up 1.5%, could be seen as like modestly quiet week, almost, with just some steady gains. But of course, we know that it's been really volatile. And I'm going to go back to what you said about what people were calling a rotation trade. I think there's obviously a lot of early calls on Monday that this is it. This is where money goes into value. All these people who have been pulling for value to kind of make up ground from what it lost in the summer were calling for that. And I think obviously it was a bit premature. The market is very good at shooting down narratives, as we know. And you saw, you know, later on in the week, the sell-offs in the cyclical names, kind of more steady. But also, I don't think it was really a rotation as much as I think that the mega caps, the kind of backbone of the kind of pandemic months, didn't really see the kind of sell-off or capitulation that might expect if it was really rotating. I think, as Brad said last week, there's just a lot of money waiting on the sidelines, and they saw opportunity in the cyclicals. So you saw both rise. And if you look for the monthly performances now, yes, the cyclicals are ahead. Financials and energy up around 11% in industrials. But right there, the mega cap sector is right behind, up about 7 and 8%. And if you looked at the treasury market, I think that gave you an even better indicator. We had the enthusiasm of the 10-year yield testing that important 1% level, only to fall back down below 9% on Thursday. It had a market holiday for Veterans Day, of course. And then so when it started trading back again, it was right back down below 9%. So, and another thing I saw was people calling for a reflation trade. I mean, can you have a reflation trade if there's no inflation? And the CPI came in, the core CPI came in flat for the month. It's down like three straight months. And this morning, core PPI just up 0.1%. So there isn't that move in inflation. There isn't going to be that move in rates. So I think what we're seeing is actually more of a kind of steady move into cyclicals as well as tech, which is pretty bullish overall.
Right. Bradley, what were the winner? Who are the winners and losers from this week after all said and done?
So to build on Kim's earlier point, there was a lot of noise this week. Mm. We obviously had the big move on Monday, which wasn't as big as you would expect, partially because of the huge moves in growth stocks downward on Monday. I saw some figures talking about a 10 or 15 sigma move, something that you would never expect in growth stocks in a number that I can't even describe how large it is, how many days in the market. So that was our Monday. And then, as you mentioned at the top of the show, the coronavirus has started to reemerge. The hospitalizations are ticking up, putting a lot of hospitals in capacity. So then in that case, we saw some of the sell-off of the normal coronavirus impacted names like Carnival, Booking.com, Wynn Resorts, and even some of the travel names, but that was temporary, right? It was still overall a very bullish week for the market with some of the winners in retail, like Kimco, some of these mall REITs were big outperformers this week. And even a name that's not in the S&P, Brookdale Senior Living, was up almost 38% this week, I guess, in a sign that obviously the first batch of this vaccine is going to be going to those who are most at risk. So that's going to be first responders. That's going to be some of our elderly individuals in the U.S. and around the world. And then also another interesting name that jumped out at me this week was Robert Half, which is up 17%. Mm. They're a staffing firm, obviously on the optimism that some of the still many unemployed in this country might soon have a demand for some of those services. Marriott Hotels was up 14% when all was said and done at the end of the week. So even though we had a lot of intra-week noise between another cruise line getting a COVID case and some of these hospitalizations ticking up, overall, I think you obviously did see this move towards, you know, on the upside, which was overall bullish. I think you had JP Morgan's Kalinovich said that earlier this week that equities should continue to rally with risk and reopening and that bonds should sell off. Mm-hmm. So clearly a sign that people are kind of throwing caution to the wind.
Indeed. Yeah. Stephen Alfer, our resident bull and also our resident prophet, as he has now called a couple of things. Of course, last week's rally was one post-election rally was one that he predicted. And also now this Pfizer news was something that he, a couple of weeks ago, voiced some optimism on, even though at the time, the comments that came out of, I guess, what were then earnings were a little bit disappointing. But basically, Stephen, you called that. What were your takes from the events of the week?
I think Kim and Brad did a very nice job. Remember the week before, the S&P 500, I think, was up by 8% and then was up a couple percent on Monday. So we had about a 10% move in the S&P 500. We had a really fun, interesting discussion in the newsroom yesterday, and Brad and Kim will know this, about there was a question, why is the market down today? Hmm. And number one, the market was barely down. The S&P was down 1%. But so we're news people, so we have to come up with an excuse. And the excuse naturally was the renewed kind of COVID-related lockdowns. But so much depends on what happened before. And the fact of the matter is the stock market was up 10% in the previous six sessions. So it was due for a pullback. Again, I would, you know, there's gonna be a lot of scares between now and several months from now. That, you know, we're clearly heading back into kind of a lockdownish phase in a lot of states. Someone on the Biden coronavirus task force floated the idea of about a six-week national lockdown after he takes office. So that's some pretty scary stuff. But I think the bigger picture is vaccines are on the way. Treatments are on the way. There are going to be some scares between now and then. But, you know, I think a year from now, a couple weeks ago, I said a week from now, we'll be sitting a lot better. And I'm certain a year from now, vis-a-vis the coronavirus, we're going to be sitting in a much better position.
I think contributing to some of that noise was the details, the details of this vaccine, right? The cold storage, the fact that it needs to be negative 90 degrees for it to be transported. So I think we're not out of the woods yet. And so you kind of had this push and pull into a week between this massive optimism of a vaccine coming our way, leading to the sell-off in a lot of the home builders and Amazon and even Zoom, which sold off 14% this week. And then we had to flip back when everyone said, well, look, Moderna, they don't need it to be that cold and they have the same technology. So I agree with Steve. I think, you know, we have a lot of optimism ahead of us, especially considering the market was so reliant on some of these heavy, large megatech names. And now part of the market rally this week has been the smaller names. The Russell 2000 outperformed the S&P. I think it was about 3.1% to 0.8%. So we'd like to talk about Stephen being dead on in his calls, but I think I called the small cap rally. That's last right.
You did. You did. Yeah. Small caps had a good week and a good rally. Here's the thing about the coronavirus. And even if there is another lockdown, it's not unprecedented territory. We know how this goes. We've seen this movie before. We lived it, right? Just a couple of months ago. And so, yeah, it would be awful for hospitality and, you know, retail, bricks and mortar retail and restaurants and things like that. But the economy can deal with this. You know, obviously the human cost is another matter entirely. We're not talking about that. So, you know, what, even if there is a lockdown of 4 to 6 weeks, I mean, and sure, stocks would sell off, but eventually we'll all go back to working on Zoom and doing everything we've been doing this whole year, right? Or is that insane?
And the market's bearing that out. We're on track for the best November since the 1950s right now, and we are already in pretty healthy territory as it was. So it seems like they're agreeing with you.
Yeah, so far.
I think the Pfizer news acted as a bit of a shock absorber for later on this week. If you had told me that Chicago would have issued a stay-at-home order for a month, canceled Thanksgiving, and we'd only be down 1% to the S&P in the end, I wouldn't have believed it. I think that now people say, okay, as you said, we've been through this. There is a vaccine coming. And also it gives a possibility, although remote, that there could be more stimulus coming, an agreement, because they know it's not going to be consistently throwing money, bad money after good money after bad. And, you know, they'll have an end date where they think, yes, this vaccine will come out.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing. I'm glad we're not talking about the election anymore, though.
Although we had 2 weeks, you could argue there'd be 2 weeks worth of commentary, considering you made the call before the networks.
That's true, yeah.
This past week, there were two opportunities to buy the marijuana stocks and the solar energy names. You had, you know, if you missed it the first time, go around with Mr. Baker here, you had a second chance over the weekend. So.
Right. All right. That brings us to the segment of the show where we talk about some of our favorite news coverage and other Seeking Alpha content that we've been involved with, or maybe we've just seen it. In some cases, we've edited it, or as has recently been the case, we've written the stories ourselves and used the opportunity to shamelessly plug them. Let's start with Stephen. What was your favorite news stuff this week?
I have a couple modest ones. One, I don't know if it's coming through, but I'm refraining from shaving on news that UPS is no longer requiring its workers to be facial hair free.
Okay, because you work for UPS or
UPS?
Oh,
UPS. UPS drivers, very, you know, essential workers.
Still, do you work for UPS? Oh, there's essential driver. Got it. Okay.
Maybe someday. But more importantly, I was fascinated by the Disney results yesterday, and I saw a comment. I don't know whether it was one of our news team who did it or I saw it somewhere else, but I'll give credit to our news team that Disney has now become a streaming company with a parks business on the side.
That's right. Yeah, I saw that comment. Well, that was a good one. By the way, I have not seen the most recent episode of The Mandalorian. Please don't spoil it for me. I'll watch it.
They have 73 million subscribers now, I think. They wanted about 70 million. They were hoping for 70 million subscribers by 2024.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's way ahead.
Subscribers now.
The forecast, right.
And it took Netflix 8 years to get 70 million subscribers.
Right. All right. Bradley, what about you?
So, as is customary, a few weeks ago, I developed a reputation on this show for calling out some of our favorite celebrities. Mm. And I thought it was apt today or to bring up Beyonce. She got a partnership with Peloton earlier this week, helping to alleviate some of the volatility in the stock there. Obviously, they were severely impacted recently from the coming off of earnings. And with this pullback from, you know, all the money that rushed into these pandemic plays, they got impacted by that. But I guess the Beyonce partnership gave them a lift of about 4% that day. Just, I think she's going to help curate some of these shows for them. And supposedly there was a huge demand for her input. So I thought that was a fun story just to kind of keep that consistency on my celebrity beat. And then secondarily, I thought it was interesting to see what happened with Beyond Meat and McDonald's this week. Yeah. It was quite the saga. You had Beyond Meat sell off something like 5 to 10% on a McDonald's conference call, indicating that they were working on their own alternative meat product. Then an executive at Beyond Meat said, no, we're part of that. So then shares rebounded into the green off of that huge downturn. And then Beyond Meat sold off after the close with their own earnings when they were failed to meet expectations. So I thought that was quite a roller coaster for Beyond Meat shares this week.
All right. Beyonce is a celebrity that I actually can pick out of a police lineup, unlike many of the other ones that you've mentioned here. She's married to that guy, Jay-Z, or as he's known in Canada, Jay-Z. All right. Kim, what about you?
I was looking at our TikTok coverage this week, mainly because of the reaction to it was so muted compared to how it was. We followed this TikTok saga throughout its twists and turns about like who could buy it, who's going to get it, what does this mean for a government to force a sale to an American company? And then the deadline came this week and the Commerce Department pretty much just punted, saying we're not going to enforce it, citing a court ruling, and we'll just let it play out. There was no word from the White House. I guess maybe Peter Navarro had something to say, but that was about it. And we see how things have changed and how the market has adjusted, even if, there's still going to be headlines about whether the election is contested or recounts or anything. The market is moving on, and they've moved on from the China saga.
Okay, that's it for this week. Thank you all for watching and listening, and we look forward to speaking to you all again next week.
That concludes today's Wall Street Breakfast. Thank you for listening. For the best investment analysis and news on the web, go to SeekingAlpha.com. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can sign up for our other podcasts, Behind the Idea, Essay for FAs, Let's Talk ETFs, the Cannabis Investing Podcast, and Marketplace Roundtable on those platforms as well. Have a great day.